On your mark. Get set. Go.
Rolling, ain't slept in weeks. Oh, I swear every time I get on a microphone, they say I'm the preach. Yeah, nothing is worth celebrating. Yeah, so there's no sand on this beach. Record labels and all's radio stations. I'm coming with the door with the C4 ready to breeze. Cause I got dreams. Dreams that's too big for my head. They sleeping on me, they sleep. It's only satisfaction for my bed. And money never sleeps, so time is a wasting. I am dream chasing. Swear I got the best talent, but I can't seem to get over the hump, so I'm steady pacing. Break a leg and I suffer a mirror, call me human right now. Swear to polite. Name me Casa Nasa Casa. I'm attacking on the Titan. You ain't never been a light, no knees. Anime references. Cause you think it's for nerds, you a pessimist. Check this, you lucky that you're getting slapped. Drop a bars on love with this, go ahead and grab a flag. I don't spend my money wisely, stating facts. I'ma check humans in the beat, cause they coming in front to back. Yeah, running back. Whoa, running back. Yeah, it's the Tecmo Bowl, and I'm the best in this game, feeling like Bojack. College came around, he was strapped to a T-O-G-Z. He even had a ski mask on.
What?
Put the gun to my head, demanding I put the money in his palm. Then go sit me down and try to teach me about some goddamn graphs. Hold up, why am I learning this? I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to earn my money back like that. Don't back down and never will. Squared up in the ring and I'm trained to kill. That's two rights in one fight. Knock out like Holyfield. Can't be scared. Duh, bing. Showtime at the Apollo Cruise, Apollo Creed. Don't follow what's on the news. I follow me. I don't sound like your favorite local rapper. I am so appalled at me. Trying to not let my ego get as tall as trees. Music keep dropping like rainfall on leaves. Now follow my lead. Whatever you dropping, fake like falling weave. I still bob and weave. Shorty got a bob with the weave. Stretch, shake, let it go. Forgot to breathe. Catch a break, let it flow and watch him feed. Nothing but rap snacks from his backpack. Double dare 2000, trying to figure out where the cash at.
Welcome to Combined Culture Radio, y'all. I'm your substitute host, Jalen Super Ultra Extra, and this is your Super Ultra Extra special until Tevin gets back next week. What you just heard right there was some Double Dare 2000 by your boy Covey, a local Portland artist. Also in the booth with us, we got a few other Portland artists. Would you guys like to introduce yourselves?
Hey, it's me, Blossom.
Hey, what's going on? My name is Fode.
Hey, what's up? It's Kobe.
I already introduced you, Kobe. You don't got it. I didn't tell you to talk. So today's episode, we're going to focus on the music scene in Portland and what it's like coming up in the game and like the recognition that Portland's gotten so far and where it's going to go in the future. But before we do that, I wanted to delve into a little bit of Victor's story. So, Victor, you mind telling the audience, you know, like how you started getting into music, what motivated you to do, start putting yourself out there and actually pursuing music and whatnot?
So I would say that I started really making music. It started with production. High school, I had a music production class that I took actually with the host in 2009. So it was my freshman year of high school. And I was producing, and then I started to write to the production that I had. And I pretty much just stuck with it. I didn't really start taking it. It was just for fun. Once I started taking it seriously, it was like around my senior year of high school when I started performing at school assemblies, performed at school prom, just pretty much like open mics, just all kinds of events. And then going into college, pretty much just getting or receiving like really good feedback on my music that motivated me to take it seriously. And ever since then, I would say, 2013 was the year that changed everything. And I was like, all right, I should definitely stick with this and, you know, maximize my abilities.
Got you. First off, I want to say that you're lying because he was rapping back in the day, back in like third grade. Okay, me and Victor went to school together. He's lying. He was rapping back in the day.
That's
still
true. Okay. I still remember that very first rap. So
yeah, it was really bad. Crazy.
Yeah,
yeah. So when would you say was when you started taking yourself serious as an artist and actually started putting in work and grinding more? Because I know you got some pretty big projects coming up, and you just shot your first music video, right?
Yeah. So I had performed at open mics in college, like freshman year of college, and pretty much like seeing other artists. I go to school in Virginia, so seeing artists out there and seeing the moves that they were making, and then also seeing the moves that artists in Portland were making, it's like I want to be at that level, or actually I want to go above that level, you know. And that was pretty much when, so yeah, like I said, 2013, this past summer, so actually last summer, was when I started to get onto the Portland music scene, because I'm never really home, so I don't really have an opportunity to perform at places and really get my name out there and have people put a face to a name, whatever it is. So last summer I performed actually with Blossom, and then this past January I performed at a monthly hip-hop show, The Thesis, and that was my first Portland show. So from there on, it's just been like grime mode pretty much. Every time I come back to Portland, I just try to do as much as I can while I'm here and have people make sure they know who I am.
Gotcha. And then so you're talking a lot about like the music scene in Portland and then versus the music scene over on the East Coast. Is there a really big difference in your approach to how you scheme and gain recognition in both areas, or what?
Not really. I feel like because where I'm at, it's in Norfolk, Virginia. So they pretty much, I feel like, have a very similar hip-hop scene to Portland. They're like up and coming. There's a lot of talent there. But of course, they also have a different sound. I feel like in Portland, everybody has their own sound. But then when you go to where I'm at, there's a lot more like trap or... actually, I'll say it's mostly trap. A lot of the people sound the same, but there are some talented people within this group. So that's pretty much what I find similar about those two, between these two cities. So there's not really anything that I have different about my approach. It's really just like trying to find a way to separate myself, you know, stand out between both cities and not like be just like how everybody else is coming up, you know?
Yeah, I feel that. So, I mean, in regards with your goals and like where you want to be in the future and stuff like that, are you trying to make it big and be famous and go mainstream and sell records like off the shelves and go double platinum and all that stuff?
I would love to. That's definitely the goal at this point. Now that I know like this is very official, you know, this is my career outside of what I'm actually going to school for, you know, this is going above and beyond. That's really it, you know, seeing how far I can go, and I think I can go pretty far. I have a great support system that's kept me motivated to keep grinding it out, really. So yeah, I would definitely like to go.
Now I kind of want to open up the floor to the other artists and ask a question. Do you think that there are things working against you guys, just in terms of being in Portland in like a smaller city that doesn't have as much of a music culture, or at least not as much of a music culture, but a internationally or nationally recognized music culture? Do you think it makes it harder to actually reach out and reach get your music across the country into other people's ears?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, yeah, like if you're in like a New York or like a LA or something like that, you know what I'm saying? You got those, you know, you got those radio stations like the like Funk Flex, you know what I'm saying, like Breakfast Club, you know what I'm saying? Like you're not necessarily gonna get on those radio stations just because you're from New York, you know what I'm saying? But you can like at least go up to those places, you know what I'm saying, and like be there. It's like way more connections and stuff like that. Like here is pretty much just a bunch of other artists, like
right
on the same thing.
Got you. Yeah, but Blossom, so you're not a rapper. I will mess you up in a freestyle.
I got bars. No, look, not live. I didn't say a freestyle.
Okay, then. I don't want to hear it then. All I do is off the dump. No, but so how would you classify your music?
I mean, I'm a hip hop artist. I just sing.
Yeah. So like, I mean, you're pretty successful singer, right? You do shows pretty frequently. In your sign?
Definitely. I think that, I mean, to answer that question, there's a point in time where you've done everything in the city, and there's a space and time where you try to balance maintaining longevity and consistency in your career, but also for your city, at least that's where how I feel is like, mm-hmm. want to make sure that, you know, the city doesn't feel like you're using them, one, just to gain, you know, something outside mm-hmm. of here, and, you know, that you are showing appreciation for what is giving you the inspiration to be an artist, but you also do need to, like he said, go to other places and expand your outreach, and it's really not that hard to represent your city while traveling. It's more so mapping out how you're going to achieve that goal of performing in other cities, because there's multiple ways you can go about doing it, but there's only one way that's going to work for you.
Definitely,
and it's about figuring out what's best for you while also learning and receiving the experiences of other people and kind of like putting that in your back pocket, like, well, you know, this person did this and that was successful for them. Let me just like at least have that here and know that that is a possibility or an option.
Gotcha. Yeah, right. Yeah, I feel that. Right. I also wanted to say, you know, you hear about a lot of artists out of Portland and then just a lot of people in general who will so-called flee to like LA or something like that to try to pursue their music career. How do you guys feel about that? You know, do you think it's them just like taking their career more seriously, or do you feel like they're just abandoning their hometown when they do that?
I don't really feel like it's abandoning it unless they're just like, oh, I'm from LA. Like, you know what I'm saying? Really just like repping it super hard. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, I don't know. I don't really have a problem with it.
I'm gonna
like, you should do whatever's clever.
That, so I lived in LA before I decided to be a professional musician here in Portland. Mm-hmm. I moved to LA for a year and did music in LA for a year. And I really had a, like, I was somebody that when I would see other artists moving from the city to there after having, you know, after I've already experienced my LA, I'm like, oh my God, like there's so many resources here in Portland. Like, mm-hmm. why are you just like, just going there because that's what like people are telling you to do.
Right.
And for me, I had to understand that like I already experienced that in one way and had to like learn from that experience. And it's unfair to be like that towards any other artist if they feel like that's the best way for them to be successful.
True.
And
true.
I feel like people who have gone, they really haven't like maximized their opportunities that they have in Portland. You know, like pretty much what Blossom was just saying, like there's so many resources. And also haven't seen anyone really have success from making the move. So it's kind of like, do you have a plan when you're going? You know, that I feel like that's extremely important. You can't just like move to LA and then expect, you know, something just fall in your lap and you're like, all right, you know,
I'm
exactly. You can't just go out there and then expect to be, you know, the next big thing. That's not how it works, because there's hundreds of thousands of people who are trying to do the exact same thing as you, and you know they probably have an upper hand and you just don't even know it. So I feel like that's having a plan. If you're going to make that move and still rep your city, you know, that's extremely important.
So you brought up how there's like hundreds of thousands of people trying to pursue music, and I definitely see that like people going into the industry like has gone up a lot more. Like I feel like every person I run into does some level of like music or something involved in the music industry.
Mm-hmm.
And even just like people's awareness of music has gone up.
Yeah.
Would you say that's discouraging with how saturated the market is? And that's just across to everybody. Like, do you see, like, look at yourself and then look at how many people are actually entering into the game? Do you see that as like discouragement or encouragement to start grinding harder?
I see it as encouragement. It makes mm-hmm. me, like I said, I always want to separate myself from others. So it's like when I see more people out there and I feel like I can do better than them, then that's just giving me more motivation, you know, to be a better artist. And also as far as like the awareness thing, I would say our generation is more musically inclined. So
definitely.
That's why I feel like, you know, there's so many more people who are aware. I mean, like, hip-hop just became the most popular genre of music, like, just recently.
Very true.
You know, so that's definitely a pretty big thing, you know, seeing that happen.
Fada, you want to speak on that?
Yeah, I feel like it like, encourages me. Like, at first, I used to get super discouraged, like, oh, like, there's so many people out there, like, this person's doing this, like, that person's doing that, and, like, what am I doing? But I mean, like, you get to a point where you just realize that nobody's like you, you know what I'm saying? And that, you know, you gotta, something that might be good, like the moving to LA thing, you know what I'm saying? Like, or just moving wherever, like, that might be good for somebody else. And, you know, everybody has their own paths and stuff like that, but you just gotta be you. And I just, yeah, that's just what I feel like. Yeah, I just make music that I like and I just put it out and I just try not to really focus on what other people are doing.
Right. I feel that. Yeah. So I kind of want to go back to the, you know, abandoning Portland thing. I know that sounds a little dramatic, but I mean, you got artists who are in the game right now who quote unquote made it, and you got like people like, you know, Travis Scott, you hear about him saying in songs how he went to LA to, you know, make it big and stuff like that, mm-hmm. and start taking himself serious. But then you got other people like Drake, who came out of Toronto, where there was really no one in Toronto, or at that time, no one really came out of Toronto. And like now you see all these artists starting to come out of Toronto. Mm-hmm. Recently, we've had Aminé come out of Portland, who had a really one really big hit, and he just dropped another album. Do you see that as like a starting point for the, you know, the ball to start rolling for Portland music and hip hop specifically?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that for sure. I think that's really big. Like him and Casso is making big moves,
yep,
too.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
yep.
Yeah, it's a lot of people that are like coming up. Dodger, she was like, mm-hmm. on a Sway and stuff. And yeah. What's it called? You got Brookfield Deuce. Like, I feel like, yeah, and like Aminé is making like a really good push. Like, yeah, just on Kimmel, like all that stuff. Like, yeah, he's doing it. Yeah. I feel like it's a good start.
Definitely. I mean, you know, people don't. When people think of Portland, they don't think of hip hop at all. That's like the mm-hmm. least, you know, like last thing they'll think of. So, you know, if he's out there repping Portland, that, you know, it's pretty cool. You want to pretty much be as successful as he is, you know, because it's like we haven't had anybody really make it out of the city like that. And I mean, he's one artist who had to get out of Portland to make it to where he's at. So, yeah, I definitely think it's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, it's like something to get like people excited about, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Fans and stuff, just like, all right, who's next? You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like,
exactly.
It's definitely, you know, an ego check, if anything, for artists that were like thought they were doing something and then happened,
right.
You know, kind of out of nowhere. And my biggest thing is I hope it influences artists to talk less and do more.
Exactly,
so I'm so tired of mm-hmm. hearing about what people are about to do. Like, let me just see it.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So I want to ask a very interesting question. Let's say one of y'all dropped a song tomorrow and it blew up just like that.
Mm-hmm.
What's your next step?
I'm paying off my debt.
Yeah,
I got student loans to pay for, so that's where the money going to.
I was about to say, because like me personally, like, because I was thinking about I was about to say, because Aminé, he dropped that song, went pretty big out of nowhere. Would you be kind of scared about, you know, reproducing that effect on that scale? You know, because like since Caroline, I mean, he hasn't had a song as big, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
Would that be a concern to you? You know. In terms of like creating something as tasteful as that one hit that you made?
Not really, because mm-hmm. like just like I was saying, like I'm just making music that I like, you know what I'm saying, mm-hmm. and I put it out,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying. So like I feel like any song that I make, I can make another song, because it's
right.
just like I'm just being me.
And it's,
you know,
all
what I'm
about
saying?
Intention too.
Yeah, you know?
Yeah.
It's all about you. It's just natural, and you just got to give it time. You know what I'm saying? Like he hasn't had another big song, but. Just as random as that song got big, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like the next one can too.
Yeah,
right.
True. Very
exactly.
true.
And it depends on what you consider big and like successful, because you know, he may not have another club bop like Caroline, but he definitely has songs that are being played in commercials, and he's like consistently making money, which is success.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a bunch of things, mm-hmm. and it's like just because like Twitter or online isn't talking about some stuff doesn't mean it's not growing longevity in other places, especially overseas.
Exactly.
Like, that's like, we as musicians need to think way outside of our cities, the state, and like just about how big music is and can be, and how mm-hmm. music exists literally in every aspect mm-hmm. of life.
Exactly.
True,
there's so many artists, they get caught up in just being big in their own city, but there's like so much more to that as an artist, you know, like you want to be in a successful artists, like, you gotta really think the big picture. Like, there's just so much more out there as artists, you know, that we can do, and people just don't see it.
Yeah, right. Very true.
And it limits them. Don't limit yourself.
Very true, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Don't limit yourself.
And it puts some this like pressure on yourself to like do something or like reach a goal that isn't even your goal. It's somebody else's goal, true. And you're just trying to surpass it. Yeah.
Now, speaking of, you know, embracing your goals and whatnot. So let's say, back to the question, if one of y'all made it big on a national scale or international scale, how do you see yourselves going about your success in terms of like bringing other people up, other artists up from Portland and being kind of ambassador to Portland and bringing up more talent? Or do you just kind of see yourself being into yourself? Because like as of right now with our one example, Mine, it just kind of seems like he's doing his own thing, you know, not really focused on, you know, bringing up more talent.
Well, I feel like for something like that, it definitely takes time. Like you can't just give back right away. Right. You have to focus on yourself for at least the first couple of years, you know, because Because if you just start to say give back right away or even, you know, just try to help people, then you're kind of hurting yourself in the long run. So for someone like him, it's understandable because I don't expect him to, you know, right away, you know, try to help other artists come out of Portland. I mean,
I'm going to be an Amina advocate and say he brought me and Dodger to Jimmy Fallon with him.
Right.
So not going to say.
I'm just going to say,
make it a statement because it does need to be known that.
I didn't even know that.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Like, and that's because, like, why does he need to tell people that?
Right.
Like, why does he need? Why do you know? Like, I don't need a favor. I don't need him to put me on.
Oh, yeah.
And no one should expect that from anybody.
Definitely,
it's like a surprise, and it's like gratefulness to like.
I definitely feel that. Like, that's a really big thing in the music industry. Is like when artists blow up, and they don't like. The fans don't see them directly giving back to where they came from. Mm-hmm. They feel abandoned. I'm like, they don't really owe you anything. They're just doing them.
Yeah,
like,
they're still people, you know. Like,
y'all don't get mad at the millionaires that come out of the city and don't give back to the community. Like, just because that person's on a public stage doesn't mean they have to give back to you, you know.
Well, and it's just like some weird sense of like, you need me. Like, I like you, so you need to be giving something back to me. Mm-hmm. Like,
watch out.
I wish the radio could see my face because it stank.
Oh my god. It stank. We're about to say something for day.
I mean, like, at the same time, if you like working with people and stuff like that, like I would keep on working with the same, you know what I'm saying? Same people and stuff. Like there's just like a it's like a balance, you know what I'm saying? Like you gotta be into yourself, but like at the same time, like today, like
totally, like, I'm not about to do...
Yeah, you know, like, who are you?
All
right, so we're about at the halfway point for the show, so we're going to play a song by Blossom. Blossom, you want to go to introduce that song for us?
I think the song is You Got Me, which is on... Okay. the song is You Got Me, which is on my album with Hot 16 and Liquid Beats. And it's featuring my background singer, Janae. She's doing spoken word at the end, and she kills it, so...
Cool, cool.
We'll be right back.
are back here with Combined Culture Radio. That was your girl Blossom over here singing, and she has the voice of an angel. That was just immaculate.
A compliment?
A compliment, yes. As rude as I am to you on a regular basis, I had to shoot you a compliment. And I gotta give you a shout out because you're one of my favorite people to watch perform on this planet.
You just, are shocking just this planet, though. Right now. Wow,
even I wanna cry. Goodness.
That is Damn. So sweet. That was nice. Thank you.
I got a little tenderness inside.
Child.
Got peeled back the layers. So, yeah. No, but so one thing I do admire about your music, Blossom, is your lyrics and how you write your songs. I want to talk with you a little bit more on your creative process. Now, you don't got to reveal any secret recipes or anything like that. But I just, you know, I want to know, I'm curious, like, how does that creative process work for you in terms of, like, how you go about writing a song?
It really depends, but I'm going to say the album. I wrote a lot of songs on my drive to work.
That's dangerous.
I used to work, like, I recently just quit my job, but I used to work in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. So I would drive from, like, Beaverton to Vancouver, which is, like, an hour, like, in the morning and then in the afternoon. So I would, like, smoke some weed before I go. Sorry, am I allowed to say
Keep
that?
It real. No, you can't. It's legal. Like,
cool. Well, I didn't, you know, family friendly. So, you know, I would play instrumentals all the way to Vancouver and voice memo myself on my phone. Gotcha. I luckily, like, had some homies that would let me, like, burn some stuff on a CD and play it in my car, play an aux cord, and that was really the only time I had. I was working full-time and doing music full-time, and, or I would go to the studio and just, like, vibe, but it really, really depends. I've fortunately had to learn how to write music in a lot of different situations or just, like, Definitely. You know, just, like, take it when I can get it or when I feel inspired because I never know when I'm going to have another opportunity to.
I feel like that's what it's like. If you really love it, you'll make time for it, you know?
Totally.
Yeah. Another personal question. When did you first realize that you could sing?
Okay, so I was in third grade.
Okay.
And no, fourth grade. And we did a school, like, in our music class, we sang My Heart Will Go On. Like, it was, like, right when Titanic came out. So, like, everyone was really obsessed with the song.
Okay.
So the teacher was, like, asking people to, like, sing the song or if they knew the words. And, like, I just, like, sang it because I knew the words. And then this boy in my class was like, oh, my God, do it again. And I was like, what? Like, so it just gave me, like, crazy. Little bit of confidence. I mean, I kept singing to myself a lot because I had really bad stage fright.
Shower songs?
Yeah. I'd sing alone a lot. I got grounded a lot, so I sang alone a lot. And I just, like...
Dang.
Yes.
Problem child.
But, yeah, I mean, at a young age, I felt like I could grow into the ability of singing. Mm-hmm. And even now, I'm still learning what to do with my voice, but...
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting topic right there. Like, finding your voice, I feel like that's, even for rappers, too, just, like, finding out, you know, what your sound is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So do you think that you have found your sound personally?
I've found my vibe.
You found your vibe, mm-hmm. Okay.
I don't want to, like, box myself in being like, I can't, like, this is my sound and this is where I'm going, because I have a very wide range of interest in music.
Definitely.
And my voice has the capability to do a lot of different things in music. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to... I hate when people are like, what genre of music are you in? Because I'm just, like, a hip-hop artist. Okay. And whatever music comes out is the rest.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah, I feel that, yeah. I like that. You don't like putting yourself in a box. What about you, Victor? Like, how'd you end up finding your voice?
So, as you guys can all tell, I have a very monotone voice. And I used to limit myself just because of my vocal range. It's like, there's not much I can do as a rapper. But then I would just, like, be freestyling and pretty much, like, trying to see how far I could go in my vocal range. and even just, like, melodies. Because, like, I write a lot of songs with various melodies. And then I would just try to, like, sing it. It's really bad. But, you know, I would just do voice memos like how Blossom would do. And... try that out and just see, like, what I'm capable of. And actually, me and you were just talking about it the other day, how, you know, I've kind of, like, found my sound, and I'm, like, also experiment with different sounds. That was like one thing when I was kind of going through like a rebranding phase as an artist. I was just trying to see what else can I do, you know, so to stick out even further, because I've always been told, like, as far as production goes, my beats don't sound like anyone else's. So it's like, all right, if my beats doesn't sound like anybody else's, let's see if my voice can sound different as well, you know. So yeah,
what would you say for that on that topic?
I pretty much just started, like, man, just smoking with the homies and just freestyling, like, to music. And,
yeah, I feel it.
And then, yeah, it just, like, eventually, like, people was like, oh, yeah, you kind of good. Like, and then I, like, wrote something and then, like, did, like, a little, like, one of them videos with me just, like, rapping just, like, in front of all the homies and stuff. And then, like, it was just like, oh, when are you going to do another one? When are you going to do another one? And it was just like, oh, all right, yeah, I'm about to start. I might as well just start making music. And then, yeah, everything was just, like, at first I was just trying to just be mixtape Wayne, like, just everything, yeah. Just, like, see how many bars I, like, could put together, like, bars of metaphors, like, didn't matter whether it was true or, like, nothing. I was trying to be creative and just, like, yeah, tight. And then, yeah, like, started just getting more into, like, more music, I guess, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, when that, like, whole kind of, like, wave died down, I started, like, listening to more just, like, actual songs. And so then I started, like, writing hooks and stuff. And then,
gotcha,
like,
yeah.
Now I'm at a point where, like, I just try to, like, just put, like, just straight facts into my music and just, like, be me and, yeah, just have fun with it at the same time.
And touching on that, too, listening to more music, I also feel like listening to different genres of music,
yeah,
helps you,
sure,
so much.
For sure.
Like, if you're just, yeah, listening to the same genre of music, mm-hmm, that you are an artist in, that itself, you're limiting yourself, because, yeah, you don't know, you know, what else you can try, mm-hmm, out. And I mean, like, I've done that with weird thing right here, a fact about me. So I've been writing a lot of rap songs, but I've been listening to a lot of R&B music, like, mm-hmm, a lot. And it, I don't know, I've outweighed my R&B music with rap music, and it's changed my writing process entirely.
The evolution.
I mean, exactly. If you really think about it, yeah. If you really, yeah, think about it, that's what hip-hop is based off of. It's, yeah, incorporating different styles of music and, mm-hmm, different cultures. Styles, and I feel like a lot of people have gotten detached from that, and they're, mm-hmm, just going based off of what they see now. Like, you know, when a lot of new rappers come out, you'd be like, oh, that sounds like so-and-so, that sounds like so-and-so.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then the ones that really stand out, you're like, that doesn't sound like anything, but it, yeah, actually does. You, mm-hmm, just don't listen, don't to really what know, it sounds,
yeah,
like, you,
exactly,
know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that's really what sets people apart. So going off of that, like, I want to ask you guys, who are your biggest role models in the industry in terms of rapping, singing, and the whole creative process? Mm-hmm. Blossom, we'll start with you.
I'm gonna say Frank Ocean as a writer.
Same.
Like, I'm obsessed. Everyone knows I'm so obsessed. But the way he writes and expresses emotion is beautiful, just for masculinity and for as a black artist as well. He touches on a sensitivity that I think is, like, really awesome. And Toni Braxton, mainly because, you know, growing up, my voice is deep. I have a really, like, low singing voice. And a lot of the artists in my childhood were, like, pop singers, you know, that were mainstream and, like, mm-hmm, popular. And I didn't know how I was going to find my voice in that. And I really connected to the older music, like Anita Baker and, you know, those type,
yeah,
of people.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
But
yeah, like I said, Lil Wayne, that was probably, like, my first,
yeah,
like, huge influence, you know? Wayne, Free Carter 5, by the way.
Yes,
right.
Jay-Z, Tupac, Biggie, Eminem is, like, a huge one. I really like Eminem's, like, subject matter and just creativity. Because, like, a lot of people are like, oh, he raps about just, like, crazy stuff. And then just, like, but I don't know. I feel like art is supposed to make you do three things. It's either supposed to, like, make you feel good, or, like, make you uncomfortable, or, like, make you think. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like that's when art is doing its job.
Wow. Someone write that down. That's, you just wrote down the formula.
Yeah. Eminem, I feel like Eminem does a really good job at that. And, like, Wale, J. Cole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And people like that. Kendrick. The list goes on. Like,
yeah, definitely.
For rappers, at least. And then, like, other music, I listen to a lot of Adele. I like Adele a lot. She's dope. Mm-hmm. Beyonce. And yeah, that's like pretty much all of me.
As far as for me a rapper goes, I would have to say Kendrick, just because I like to rap fast. Yeah. And like, I've studied his music a lot. I mean, I've been listening to him since 2010. Mm-hmm. Was that when the mixtape came out? Yeah. So, I mean, I've always studied his music and how his cadences are and how he can control his breathing when rapping fast.
Doesn't make sense.
At all. Like, listen to Rigor Mortis if you guys haven't heard it. And that's one thing that I've always actually struggled with, is my controlling my breathing when rapping fast. So, like, that's one person I feel like I've studied the most, like, as an artist. And also, like, content. He's a very vulnerable artist, you know, like, speaking on his past and everything like that. And I feel like I'm a vulnerable artist as well. I'm always speaking about my life experiences. And I feel like that's, you know, very important as an artist. Like, you know, let people know what you went through, because they might have went through the same thing, you know. And then as far as production goes, as, you know, as a producer, I have to, you know, listen to all kinds of beats just to figure out, you know, what I can make. So Travis Scott, when he was producing more, like when he was first coming out, I listened to him a lot just because his sound was just completely different. And I listened to a lot of electronic music as well. That's where I get the influence of having these really weird sounds and then mixing it with like trap music, but it's not really trap. It's still kind of like hip hop, but it's just out of this world, you know. I like astronomical type sounds.
I will say personally,
super astronomical.
I would say from a listener's point of view, you do have a very unique sound in the music that you create, from the lyrics to the flow to the beats and everything that you make. And you recently, created this song "Coconut Oil Shawty," and that one got some pretty good press on that one on Twitter, right? Yeah. Would you say that was like your most exposed moment in terms of your outreach with your music?
Definitely, because I literally posted a video of me rapping this song just to show people what I've been working on, because it had been a really long time since I had released music. And knowing that my fan base was so small, you know, I just, whoever is paying attention, it's like, this is what I have. And then next thing you know, I'm getting shown a bunch of love and 1,000 retweets, you know, on Twitter, and like almost 2,000 likes. And it's like, this is kind of a big deal, you know, because I was trying to finish my homework before midnight and my phone is blowing up.
Dang.
And I almost didn't submit that assignment. Mom, if you're listening, I submitted the assignment before midnight, so don't trip.
Degree coming soon.
Right, degree coming soon. So, yeah, that was definitely the most exposure, you know, and so far it's been my biggest single to date, you know. So, I got 1,000 plays in a month, and that's, I feel like that's pretty big, especially since my music wasn't featured on any blogs. You know, they're like, this is strictly through social media.
Yeah.
So to me, it was kind of showing the power of social media as an artist, knowing that, you know, I have somewhat of a fan base. And it's like, it was pretty cool to get that love shown.
Blossom, I want to ask you, because you do a lot of shows and whatnot, and you're pretty out there in the community with your music. What would you say is your biggest exposure moment in terms of your music? Like, what's the biggest thing you've done with your music, or the biggest hype you've gotten off your music?
I mean, I don't want to disregard my album because it's doing really great right now. But I think it was probably when I dropped the Black Magic Woman music video. Could not be on my phone at all. Mainly because everyone was like, who's your friend over there? Which friends is this part? Who's that? Wow. Oh my God. Like, and I mean, also the song is really awesome, a really passionate song for me as well. And I dropped it at a time where Black women were really stepping out in the forefront and kind of showing their place in activism and in what's going on right now in our country. So I think that was probably it.
Cool. Yeah. Fode, you want to touch on the biggest highlight of your career so far?
Yeah, it was probably like when I first started, just like, yeah, just coming out, putting out those videos and stuff. It was really exciting. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, all my homies was like, yo, like, shout me out next time. Do all that. And, yeah, pretty much. And, like, when I dropped my first music video, Perfect, that was pretty tight, too.
Hey.
Yeah, you did get a lot of love for that.
Yeah, yeah, perfect, yeah, a lot of love that for that. Perfect. People were like bringing me out. Yo, you got to come to this show, bro. Just perform Perfect. Right?
I'm not going to really lie. Tight. I slapped that one on Workout. It's on the playlist. But I want to go back to that video you dropped. That bro, you came out of nowhere with that back in high school.
Yeah. Yes. Everybody's like, bro, what?
What was that, like 2012?
What was the instrument on that? Oh, was it Waka Flocka or something like that?
Oh, Let's Do It. Yo.
Oh, Let's Do It. Oh, Let's Do It. And this dude, okay, for the listeners, Fode was just like, the funny dude.
I was
right?
Just the goofy.
He was just the goofy dude who cracked jokes. No one really thought, like, he was just like a class clown. All of a sudden, this dude dropped this video of him freestyling in a park. It was a freestyle, right?
No, it wasn't a freestyle. I wrote that.
Okay.
I wrote
and he dropped out of nowhere, and like this thing blew up, like amongst like the Portland community and like the younger community. Mm-hmm. Now, Fode, I gotta ask you, can you bust out a freestyle for us today?
Yeah, I could get you some.
You
get some?
You gotta keep it clean, though, because we got some children listening in young years, so.
Yeah, but got you.
Could you get us for some?
All right, yeah, okay. I might have some bars.
All right, Del, do you got an instrumental for us, possibly? Okay, cool.
I might have to stand across the room from this mic.
Oh, God, it's about to get hot in here. Oh, God.
All right, yeah, let's
okay, here we go.
Okay. Yeah. It's for NEP, stand up. Look, I got a love-hate relationship with drugs. Right now I'm cool on those. Nature boy, I'll die from a spider bite before I overdose. Yeah, not exactly sober though. For the most part, just blowing dro and making progress. I ain't worried about the others, this ain't a contest. I know I'ma win regardless. A track, I go my hardest. Faux pas, but a starving artist. For way too long, I was stalling. Now I'm all in. I look around and I see these lists about who the hottest and popping. Like I get to the top, it's just a matter of dropping. I swear, I got a lot of on my mind. They say I fell off, well, I landed head first on the grind. I swear, it's curtains, it's mine. Just a matter of time. I tell you something about killing, just make me feel alive. Got that from Big Homie Low. So giving up is a no-go. I ain't stopping till I'm yeah, it's fofo. Feel them, the white girls love them like the cocoa. I'm grinding 9 to 5 but still can plug you for the lolo. Ain't talking money, I don't speak your language. Trips to the gene, try to double what I came with. I'm a 90s baby just like Tommy in the gang. Yeah, bars hot enough to make a whack rapper lane switch. Yeah, I know, different toilet bowl, same shit. I flip her money, he be on some buy a chain shit. Brand new scale, said he never going broke again. Mid for the lower, pay that ticket for this potent shit. This ain't pay attention, no, I'm going in. Hating is contagious, pay attention who you smoking with. I'm cool on everybody to a certain extent. You trying to be cool with everybody, you gon' hurt in the end. Yeah, just gotta know yourself and stick to the plan. Them just had me out of character, I'm cool on them Zans. And I'm straight on the lean, I'll just roll me some strong. I put a crutch inside the wood, now I smoke like a bong, yeah. Blowing O's, I just want the commas. Batch rolling weed, I call it smoke of honest. Hold up, for Papa, I flow sick, ill. Up and need a in my city. Some really plotting on the seats, I'm here just looking silly. Yeah, sooner than later we'll separate. Watch it pile up, and if they hate, then let them hate. Cause everything I talk about, I'm living this. Somewhere between a conscious rapper and some ignorance. Yeah, I'm hungry. I'm hungry. What's top ramen to a lion? What's a snake to a giant? Don't complain, you the pilot, yeah. It's in your hands, you can't depend on your mans. Make plans, make moves, make them count, then make bands. Make millions, live your life to the fullest. Dodge them haters like bullets. Love the pressure like Kobe. Winning time, I'ma pull it. I'm a legend like Jordan. I know bangers like Gordon. From the city of roses, when it's raining, it's pouring. Yeah, when it's raining, it's pouring. From the city of roses, when it's raining, it's pouring. Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa. That was hot, bro. Right? We need that air word.
Dang. We need a flex bomb.
Right. Where did that come from, bro?
Man, that's something that I took off of my album. The album that I'm getting ready to drop, that's not going to be on there. What's it called?
Oh, my God.
Just like a little something. Like, all
right. I will say, every time you hop on the mic or I hear a new track, you always surprise me with what your capabilities,
man. Appreciate it.
That was some real stuff right there. Yeah,
that was hot, man.
Thank you.
Yeah. But yeah, I wanted to, we're about to wrap up here, but I want to touch on some more topics here. So how do you guys feel about, and this is a up and coming topic and some controversy around it, but people feel like when there are white rappers coming to the game or white artists coming to hip hop, that it is cultural appropriation. Like, I've heard that around the block and everything, like people just saying that to me. How does that make you guys feel? Like, what is your opinions on that as black artists?
I feel like it's all like depends on the situation to me, like, because I feel like, I don't know, at a certain point it's kind of corny just to say, oh, he's white and he's trying to rap, like, he's, what's to call it, that's like saying, like, I'm black, you know, I'm trying to play baseball, you know what I'm saying? I'm not supposed to do that. Or, like, something that's predominantly white, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, but if he's, like, but if you got, like, a white rapper that's just, like, you know what I'm saying, like,
posing
or something, yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, like that. Or, like, just be who you are, you know what I'm saying? Because I know white dudes who be, like, doing more, like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
just be, like, way more, like, hood and stuff than, like, some of my black friends, you know what I'm saying? And, like, you know what I'm saying? The complete opposite, you know what I'm saying? So, it's just, you gotta just, like, read into, like, I don't know, everything's situational, you know what I'm saying? It just depends on the person. I just say, stay true to you. And if somebody's doing them, I can't knock it.
Yeah. Well, Victor, how do you feel about that?
I feel like, it really doesn't bother me. I mean, like, talent, if you have the talent, you know, flaunt it. It's really just if you're, I don't think it's cultural appropriation at all. You know, like if you're out here saying the N-word in your raps, then okay, we got a problem. Yeah, but sure. You know, if you can really rap, then go ahead and rap. You know what I'm saying? Like example, Wynn in Portland, shout out to Wynn. She can rap her butt off. Right. I saw her live. Sweet. Like, and, She's a great artist, and then she just had a video of her rapping on Twitter and went viral. You know, she's on Beats One Radio after that, and like all these different ventures. And I think that's amazing because that's just one more artist out of Portland. You know, so that's just getting more shine on Portland. And then she's a female artist. So white, like, you know, there's just so many different factors. I think it's cool. You know, because she can really rap.
Got you, Lawson.
I think the same thing. I think if you're talented, use your talent however you utilize it. Like you said, stay true to yourself. You're going to be a product of your environment. And if your environment is filled with rap, jazz, whatever, then that's probably something that you're going to be interested in, especially if you're talented in that field. I definitely think that what pisses people off more than it being like white rappers or white musicians doing so-called black music is when it comes to the conversation of inspiration and what, you know, where that music and where those things come from. You know, you speak to a lot of other artists and they don't know at all. And unfortunately for white rappers, they are the ones that are going to be asked those questions more often than black rappers. Well, and a lot of black rappers don't have a clue where hip hop started at all. Yeah. They know where it started for them, but they don't know where it started. So it's unfair to put that on white rappers because they're white rappers. Right. That's my opinion. But, you know.
Yeah. And I'll say with that, like, kind of going off what you said, there seems to be like a major problem nowadays with authenticity when it comes to people's music. You know, that it's kind of like, you know, the status quo now to just rap about, you know, doing drugs, selling drugs out there,
being sad, like depression's popular now. You know? Yeah, I'm like,
weird. It's really weird. I don't like that at all.
And you know, you find yourself, you know, always listening to music, and it's all generally about the same stuff. Like, there's not too many topics covered. As artists, do you guys ever find yourself like falling into that trap?
To me, I only find myself falling into that trap when I'm freestyling.
Yeah.
You know, same. Like it's so easy to rap about it, you know, not really. Like that's like seeing other people rap about the exact same thing makes me, you know, not want to rap about it. It's like, all right, like what does that make, like, cool about me as an artist? You know, like, but then also there's a lot of people who are attracted to that, like, that's listeners, which is weird. So it's like you're kind of stuck. It's like it's a middle ground. It's like, all right, do I want to go with what everybody else is working with, or do I talk about something else and hopefully people flock to me because of what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And then also, like, I wanted to talk about with the drug use and all that. I mean, we got people like Future, right? You know, do we all love Future's music here?
I love it.
Definitely. Okay.
But is he telling the truth about what he's actually doing, and is he putting out the wrong message, would you say?
Like, well, I can't tell you if he's telling the truth or not.
Okay.
I don't know Future, but at the same time, like, I doubt he's just like, you know what I'm saying, just, oh yeah, Molly and Percocets, you know what I'm saying?
That's dangerous.
You know what I'm saying? That's like super, what's it called? But, yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's just like what I was saying with like how I'm trying to like be more serious with my music, but like I can't get away from like how I started, and that's just like rolling around with my homies and just like, you know what I'm saying, BSing.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, it gets to a point where like you can talk about that stuff, like, you know what I'm saying, if you know it's truthful to some extent, you know what I'm saying, but like at the same time there's a time and place, and you know what I'm saying, you gotta, it's all about progression, you know, and like making, like becoming something, like, you know what I'm saying, getting away from where you were, you know what I'm saying, like and growing and like getting away from that stuff, but at the same time, you know what I'm saying, have fun with it, you know what I'm saying,
And that's one thing, like, Future is a grown man, and he became successful at an older age.
Very true, yeah.
And there's a whole life that he as an artist has lived before he became Future.
Very true.
And it's like, there are artists who do music, and they've never lived that life before. And as annoying as it is to us to continuously hear the same stuff, there are people who have done those things, and it's just not entertaining to us.
Right,
like,
right.
And it's like, that's, you know, and it's not relative to us. So it's like, I can't even imagine myself falling in that trap because I don't relate to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what sucks about mainstream, is everyone wants to relate to it.
Exactly.
I would say the main conflict I have with that type of music is it goes hard, right? I mean, I admire most of those songs because of the beats, not really the lyrics.
Mm-hmm.
But the main conflict I have is, like, supporting it, but at the same time, like, the message that it's saying to the kids. Because, like, this type of lifestyle is actually destroying a generation.
Yeah, for sure. Extent.
Like, but, like, do you think that it should kind of be eliminated out of the game? To like, what do you think is the best route?
No, because they wanted to eliminate Tupac and Biggie, and those are two of my like main inspirations for flow and artistry and things like that. But also, my parents were intelligent enough to differentiate between that lifestyle and where we actually are in reality, and it's like, you know, people say hip-hop is destroying the youth and et cetera. And it is in essence, but there's other people that are in those youth's lives that need to be taking responsibility and educating people the difference between entertainment and reality.
Gotcha.
And people put music, like, it's actually, do you notice that? People make music so real. Like, movies do the exact same thing music does, and nobody is ever like, let's not make 7 million Texas Chainsaw Massacres all this stuff, because people might actually go and do these things.
Yeah.
But when it comes to music, they're like, literally like, like that, they're going to, it's going to poison you, because music does have some sort of control. It's crazy.
Okay. Yeah. I like that perspective.
I feel like it's kind of on the artist to like, to differentiate what's real and what's not, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And like what is real, but might not be the most positive thing that you're supposed to be doing, and then send that positive message still, and just say like, yeah, we can get better, and like, you know, like just some positivity, because like we're artists, you know what I'm saying, like we take art and it's just like our outlet, you know what I'm saying, like we put all of our frustrations, all of our insecurities, all of our cockiness, all of our happiness, sadness, like we put it all into like this one thing, you know what I'm saying, and like, yeah, so it just comes out how it comes out sometimes, and we just gotta take responsibility for what it is.
Well, on that note, we're actually gonna end the show. We're hitting to the hour mark, and what we're gonna end with is a track from Fode called Carry It, right?
Yes, this is called Carry 'Em. It's on my upcoming project, which doesn't have a title yet, but enjoy. Thank you.
Life a bitch, you ain't got a choice but to marry ya. It ain't about the burdens on your back, it's how you carry them. Before it is over, it's dead and gone. Bury it, then bounce back, that's the end of that with a period. My game face on, they like, why so serious? Smooth flow, shit could go for miles like Darius. He don't need no auto-tune, that nigga a lyricist. I turn this booth into my cafeteria. And this right here, sophisticated ignorance. I keep it a 100 shoe fits, I'm aware of it. I done came up and lost it all like an idiot. Then bounce back harder, it's all about resilience. Now I stay clear of the snakes, rats, amphibians. Student of the game, my favorite teacher was experience. Now I move in silence like I'm third word to Phineas. Heading a better place now, wish I was looking hideous. And then the rain came down and it washed away the pain. I show flashes of the old me, but nothing was the same. Life a bush, you ain't got a choice but to marry her. It ain't the burdens on your back, it's how you carry them. And then the rain came down and it washed away the pain. I show flashes of the old me, but nothing was the same. Life a bush, you ain't got a choice but to marry her.